You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to This Day in History with Benjamin J. Goldson.
This day in history, going back to 1962 for the beginning of the full embargo on Cuban products into the United States. So there'd been a sort of preliminary embargo on like weapons and stuff, but yep. This was the sort of
so
full
1958, the weapons embargo, I believe.
I'm probably a bit after, because I believe the revolution was only in 1959,
perhaps.
Which I should have gotten down, because that's the next clip coming up, is about Fidel Castro's toppling of the sort of pro-American Fulgencio Batista regime, which had ruled in Cuba, like I said, until I'm pretty sure 1959.
Yeah, dive in there.
A tremendous personal triumph, Castro rode in glory into Havana. Cubans, hundreds of thousands of them, gave him a hero's welcome. He quickly won international recognition for his government, but later caused widespread concern over his methods, such as conducting war crimes trials at this sports palace in a circus atmosphere. Spectators jammed the arena, some yelling, "Kill him," as Batista men came to the bench. The trials went quickly. Within a few weeks, 250 men faced firing squads throughout the country. Triumph around Castro tarnished as the year wore on. He grew more tempestuous, hurled constant attacks against the United States and factions in Cuba opposing his methods. But he retained his great popularity with most Cubans.
So yes, Oscar, turns out we were both right. The United States began its weapons embargo in 1958.
Yep.
However, Batista only fell in 1959. And it's sort of, well, why did they, if they were supposedly so friendly with Batista, why did they cut his weapons supply? I think it was partly they were getting sick of Batista and Castro at the time. They didn't know he was going to go to the Soviet side as much as he did.
There's just as much chance of things going well initially, from American eyes perhaps.
Mm. Because they had their sort of semi-relations with the Castro-led rebel groups.
Yeah.
But of course he did end up going over to the sort of Soviet camp, which would lead to all the stuff that is going to be played in part two, which is coming up after these messages.
Ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream, huh?
For me, it's more like a groan, like, ugh!
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like, ugh, lactose, ugh, my bad decisions.
Nah, this one's a coconut dealy.
Ooh!
See?
Little Island Coconut Creamery's range of naturally flavoured coconut drinking milks, legendary original coconut drinking milk, and of course, dairy-free ice creams are simply delicious. Screamingly good, even. Go to littleislandcreamery.com.
The dichotomy of Julian Baker. You cannot look away. Her soul-baring expressions are so raw and vulnerable, yet pronounced with so much strength.
Sounds good, huh? Well, you could be heading along for free, thanks to 95BFM. Just grab your Simplicity B card and stay tuned for your chance to win. 95BFM presents Julian Baker, February 15th at the Tuning Fork. Tickets on sale now from Ticketmaster.
So we now return to this day in history. When we left off, Fidel Castro had toppled the regime of Batista in Cuba. Afterwards, he would be drawn to the Soviet Union, and it's obviously disputed why, whether it was American pressure on him pushed him there, or if he was always a sort of Soviet agent and he went there, and whether the American thing was, you know, justified, blah, blah, blah. What is certain, of course, is that in 1961, CIA-backed Cuban exiles would attempt to overthrow the Castro regime by force.
assault has begun on the dictatorship of Fidel Castro. Cuban army pilots opened the first phase of organized revolt with bombing raids on three military bases. Two of the B-26 light bombers then seek asylum in Florida. On the heels of the air raids, landings were effected by rebels at several places on the Cuban coast, and the rebellion against the red-tinged dictator was on, with the refugee pilot claiming a full-scale army revolt near. In Havana, acting Foreign Minister Olivares shows diplomats rockets fired from the Cuban raiders, which he claims have U.S. markings. Meanwhile, at the United Nations, Cuban Foreign Minister Roa accused the United States of unleashing a war of invasion. Roa says the invading soldiers trained in Florida, but Ambassador Stevenson makes a quick denial.
These charges are totally false, and I deny them categorically. The United States has committed no aggression against Cuba, and no offensive has been launched from Florida or from any other part of the United States.
In the Guatemalan foothills, there's a mysterious training depot where some of the raiders may have been based. The government there denies that Cubans are among the soldiers being instructed, but observers have said otherwise. Professional soldiers are among the teachers, and once trained, the men mysteriously disappear. Guatemala has held no brief for the Castro regime and has aided the rebels. In Cuba itself, the people have been exhorted by Castro to push back the invader, and 300,000 militiamen have been mobilized. The invasion was successful in its early hours, with Castro, of course, blaming the U.S. Is it the first chink in his armor?
That was newsreel footage of the failed Bay of Pigs invasion. After this, you would have famously the Cuban Missile Crisis. Soviet Union's put nuclear missiles in Cuba, allegedly pointed them at America. Yeah. This led to a blockade and sort of tensions with that, which was semi-resolved. But of course, that's not really what we're talking about today, because that actually happened after
the
embargo, which was first enacted on this day in history, 1962. And would again push Cuba further into the camp of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, certainly, just before we go into the next clip, is this thing of 65% of Cuba's exports at the time were going to the US, and 74% of the imports into Cuba were from the US. And so it kind of gives you a bit of a scale of kind of what this embargo or blockade kind of ended up doing to Cuba. But here is a clip about Moscow.
But
Russians turned out in thousands to show the world, and America in particular, that Nikki loves Fidel. President Castro had the red carpet treatment all the way to the Red Square. Castro, of course, didn't at all like the Russians having to take their rockets away from Cuba, so Khrushchev invited him to Moscow to meet the best friends he has outside his own countrymen. The lively Cuban knows that he's a thorn in the flesh of Washington. In that role, he probably thinks he'll get a great deal out of Moscow. Of course, when a small man tries to play off two big men against each other, it doesn't always come off. Still, it's good while it lasts. Let's hope someone hasn't stopped using, what's the name of that stuff?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.